योगिनो भक्ति लक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः यस्यां संधार्यमाणायां योगिनो भक्ति लक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः यस्यां संधार्यमाणायां योगिनो भक्तिलक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः यस्यां संधार्यमाणायां योगिनो भक्तिलक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः यस्यां संधार्यमाणायां योगिनो भक्तिलक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः मतजीस यस्यां संधार्यमाणायां योगिनो भक्तिलक्षणः आशु संपद्यते योगा आश्रयं भद्रमीक्षतः Word to word translation, meaning and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yasyam, by such systematic remembrance, Sandharya Manayam, and thus being fixed in the habit of Yoginaha, the mystics, Bhakti Lakshanaha, being practiced to the devotional system, Ashu, very soon, Sampadyate, attains success. Yogaha, connection by devotional service. Ashrayam, under the shelter of Bhadram, the all good. Ikshataha, which seeing that. Translation and purport. O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under His direct shelter. Purport. Success of mystic performances is achieved only by the help of the devotional attitude. Pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystic that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not, however, elevated to such a successful status without the tinge of mixture in devotional service. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days, and that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5 that the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way, although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. Om ओमज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नितिनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश धारणे हरे कृष्ण यस्याम संधार्यमाणायाम योगिनो भक्ति लक्षण आशु संपद्यते योग आश्रयम भद्रमीक्षतः ओकिंग बाय दिस सिस्टम ऑफ रिमेम्बरेंस एंड बाय बीइंग फिक्स्ड इन द हैबिट ऑफ सीइंग द ऑल गुड पर्सनल कंसेप्शन ऑफ द लॉर्ड वन कैन वेरी सून अटेन डिवोशनल सर्विस टू द लॉर्ड अंडर हिज डायरेक्ट शेल्टर सो फॉर दोज हू हैव हर्ड यस्टरडेज क्लास गिवन बाय हिज ग्रेस बलदेव प्रभु ही वेरी eloquently described the entire sequence of events till this verse or till the verse yesterday that he spoke on, and of course he covered a bit of this also, that how Shukadeva Goswami, he is addressing Parikshit Maharaj, who is cursed to die in 7 days, and he is very eagerly, attentively, with all ears, without any filters, hearing each and every word from Shukadeva Goswami. And he is not just alone, but there are, it is described, thousands of sages who have assembled. And of these sages, the names are described in the first canto, few prominent names, but all the who's who in the galaxy of spiritual practitioners, they are present there. His own father Vyasadeva, his father's guru Narad Muni, and so many other sages. We all know that in the Vedic literature, the process of understanding and realizing the absolute truth is referred to as darshan. The word philosophy spoken in Sanskrit is called darshan, or knowledge through which we can realize, we can connect with the divine, with God. And for Vaishnavas, you would say Krishna or Ram. So this darshan, we know that there is Shad darshan or six different ways of approaching this divinity. And all the propounders of these six darshans were sitting in the audience. So Baldev Prabhu was mentioning that how, you know, there are those who are the proponents of different philosophical systems, as we know, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, and Mimamsa, Sankhya, Yoga, and Vedanta. So these are the six systems, or six darshans. And all the proponents of these systems were present right in front of Shukdev Goswami, who is selected by all of them to be the chairman of that meeting where the questions of Parikshit Maharaj will be answered by Shukdev Goswami. So, typically in meetings, usually what happens is that the chairman thinks that he will only do all the discussion and he will only make the decision. So he comes with his own agenda. Although the agenda is set by secretary and the chairman, but that is so that, you know, everyone, whatever their concerns are addressed. But an ideal chairman is a facilitator. And he gives everyone a chance to speak and to be heard. And his or her views are not rejected, accepted, and are considered important. Of course. Then, an expert chairman helps everyone to come and agree on some point, although they may have started with disagreement initially. So, Shukdev Goswami also, as an expert presenter of this Bhagavad Dharma, Baldev Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, that he speaks in a way that everyone feels accepted, everyone feels recognized, everyone feels that yes, my presence is noted. So, he starts with describing the system of yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And in the last few verses, Shukdev Goswami has described that, you know, how a person who is about to die should not be afraid, but should go in a secluded place, bathe in the holy waters there, and then with purified body and consciousness, sit in a stable asana, perform pranayama, and, you know, all the other steps, yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, dharana, dhyan, and samadhi. So, Shukdev Goswami has described all these steps in very brief, few verses. So the verses start from verse number 1 until 20 verses. He has sufficiently made Parikshit to understand that the material way of life is useless. And the only way to become happy is to come to this point of seeking self-realization. And what are the steps? And that is, he describes the Ashtanga Yoga. And then from the next verse onwards, from 22nd onwards, he, Parikshit Maharaj, starts asking some specific questions, how to do that, how to fix the mind on the conception of the Lord. So that, you know, then he will take the discussion further. So, Shukdev Goswami, he describes this Ashtanga Yoga process, and then usually the Ashtanga practitioners, they connect with the impersonal feature, as is described in this purport. And in the yesterday's shloka also in purport, Prabhupada speaks about pantheism, that is, the process by which one can feel the presence of Almighty everywhere. So, pantheism does not mean that everything is God, which generally what people interpret by this word, but seeing the manifestation of the divine through all the different things that we see in this world or experience in this world. And that is quite an impersonal way of connecting with the divine. When a Vaishnava hears this, usually our immediate knee-jerk response is rejection. Oh, this is wrong. But actually, if we see the Bhagavad Gita, which is being spoken by Krishna himself, so Krishna does not reject it. In fact, impersonal is one of the features of the personality. We all also sometimes tend to be impersonal, isn't it? So does that mean that we don't have personality? We have. But that impersonal interaction or behavior is many times towards those whom we don't want to disturb our own peace. We have the doorbells. And nowadays the systems are so advanced that, whoever comes there, as soon as they ring the bell, so the person from inside speaks, "Kone?" So the person who is standing on the door hears that someone is speaking, "Who is there?" And then he speaks. He says, "Okay, keep it there on the door or keep it in that basket and leave." So while this person on the door is speaking and conversing, he may not be able to see the person inside the house, but he feels that there is someone in an impersonal way. You don't even see sometimes in some houses a person may be supplying newspaper, milk or vegetables, whatever, and he may not have seen the owner throughout his life. Because he says, "Theek hai, do your work and leave." Right? So, that does not mean that the impersonal feature is not part of that personality. In fact, it is a dependent conception of personality. Personality is thesis and impersonality is antithesis of it. So, unless there is some principle, there can't be an opposite principle to it. So, impersonal is the rejection of personality. So, what comes first? Personal. And then the impersonal. Right? So, impersonal is a feature, is like a subset. And personality is the superset. So, the reaction to reject impersonality is not very appropriate. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, "Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina," that in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded by me. Matsthani sarvabhutani na cha aham teshu avasthita, that all beings are me, but I am not in them. So, someone may be confusing a bit. And then he speaks some example that, just like there is air in the sky, they are separated, but at the same time, you know, they can't be perceived as different. So similarly, I am present everywhere, but still I am not in everything. So, present everywhere in the energy manifestation, which is the impersonal feature, just like on the doorbell, you hear the voice, and that voice is the energy of the person. So, when we experience Krishna or the Divine in the different manifestations of this world, so that is the connecting with that personality through his energies. And in the second canto, later in the third chapter, it is described that this meditation or yoga, where the yogi focuses on the this pantheistic idea which is being spoken here, or the Virat Purusha. So that is for those who are too attached to matter. So they can see, they are trained, as Prabhupada here mentions, that this pantheism or the system of feeling presence of Almighty is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to devotional conception. So this is a training to see everything as connected with the Divine. So we are trained, for those born in India, so we all know that, right from our childhood we are trained that don't touch anything by your feet, respect everything. Paper, pen, even shoes, you should keep it respectfully, not just throw here and there. Right? So, that's a training to see that everything is energy of the Divine. So, it should be treated properly. So, this is the preliminary steps to enter into more confidential understanding of the Divine or God. So, impersonal is not rejected, but it has to be readjusted to understand that how that is also manifestation of the Divine, as Krishna says here. And then there are so many verses. In the 7th chapter, Krishna says that I am the taste of the water, I am the fragrance of the earth, I am the sound in the ether, right? And the knowledge of the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in man. So, by this we understand that actually everything that is possible only by the energy of the Divine. And we can feel, if we understand this with proper analysis, then we can understand that we are never separate from God. And so, a person can then start connecting with God, with Krishna, by his or her meditation. And in the last few verses, he mentioned that how to meditate? Meditate on the form of the Lord. Meditate on Vishnu, who is present within the heart. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Na Anyagamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Partha Anuchindayam. That what is that state of Samadhi? Because in the 8th chapter, Krishna is speaking of how to concentrate mind in such a way that at the end of your life, you can enter into the spiritual realm. So how is that possible? Only when we fix our consciousness, our concentration in Samadhi. And what is Samadhi? Deep meditation or trance. That is what he says. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena. Start with practice. not letting your mind be distracted anywhere to any things of this material world, to any attachments, to any different conceptions of false shelters in this world, but taking shelter of the Divine, taking shelter of Krishna, who is Paramam Purusham Divyam, who is the absolute, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is transcendental. Yati Partha Anuchintayan. Anuchintayan means constant practice, constant meditation. So, that is how a person can fix the mind. But it starts with accepting that Krishna is everywhere. That, yes, in whatever we are experiencing, we can connect with the Divine. And Krishna says, but the problem is, if a person only stops at that and not proceeds further, in the purport, Prabhupada says that, you know, the benefit, the only benefit to the impersonalist is that the devotional atmosphere created by this pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days. As in the Bhagavad Gita, I think 7th chapter, Krishna says that Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate. 7th chapter, 19th verse. After many, many births, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. So, you know, it takes practice. Ultimately, the person will come to devotional service. So, in the translation, you know, it is, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, this system of remembrance, Ashtanga Yoga, Dharana, Dhyan, Samadhi. Usually, you know, we have experience staying in Rishikesh for a long time that people understand Ashtanga Yoga only to be asana and pranayam, not even yam niyam. They don't have a conception of that. So, they are practicing asanas in the morning and in the evening they are doing party. So, what is that? So, there is a place called as Tapovan in Rishikesh, which was a place in the days of yore, we can say, where people, yogis would come to practice tapasya, to practice meditation. There are still some caves there. But now, because of too much commercialization and lack of authentic teachers, that Tapovan has become Bhogavan. People come there to enjoy, especially the Indians from Delhi, because that place has become famous now. Rishikesh is now famous for whitewater rafting and for adventure sports. Actually, Rishikesh, the word has Rishi, and Rishikesh is the name of Krishna, which means the master of the senses. But there people are coming to let loose their senses, and it's a pathetic situation. So, nowadays people's conception of Ashtanga is just asana and pranayama, not even yam and niyam. But the real fruit of asana, of Ashtanga Yoga is, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, that the person develops devotional service in later days by meditating on Vishnu, by rendering service to the Lord with every incoming and outgoing breath, by remembrance. In fact, there are some schools or ashrams which are old timer, which are actually very impersonal. They follow the Advaita philosophy. And nowadays that is also not properly followed by anyone. The perfect Advaita practitioner was Adi Shankaracharya, who was also a perfect Vaishnava. And after that everyone is mixed. So still there are some ashrams where they understand that ultimately it comes to devotional service. So they are practicing many aspects of devotional service, as Prabhupada mentions here, that success of mystic performance is achieved only by help of devotional attitude, and there has to be a tinge of devotional conception for achieving success in any path. So there are ashrams where for almost 50 years or more they have akhand harinam sankirtan going on. At least two places I know on the banks of Ganga. 24 hours harinam. And what are they singing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are very late to enter into Rishikesh. They have been chanting Hare Krishna for so many years. So we should understand that yes, impersonal is a feature of the Lord. It is not to be rejected, but has to be understood in its proper perspective. It is the conception which Krishna maintains to keep those who are not very much personally inclined to Krishna, to keep them in that distance. Krishna says that naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita, that I deserve a right not to reveal myself fully to everyone. We all have that right. Nowadays, you know, this breach of what is that? Breach of personal, you know, space. So people don't want to be disturbed in their personal space, right? So they want to keep their personal details also safe, right? Right to privacy. So there are so many laws that, you know, no one should be able to share your any personal information that you have agreed to give to someone, right? So we all have a right to privacy, that if we don't want to connect with someone, so we should not be forced in certain way, right? So Krishna, he is supremely independent, so he has the supreme right of privacy. So if we see someone is not properly aligned with what Krishna wants, so he keeps them away. Because if you don't do that, then they start disturbing. Right? So, right to privacy Krishna also has. So, it's not that, you know, he is hateful to them. As Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priya. In the 9th chapter, you know, he says that I am equal to everyone, I am equally disposed, and I really love everyone. Right? But ye bhajanti to mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyam. But those who favorably connect with me are my devotees. You know, they are my friends. You know, Krishna says in the 9th chapter, verse number 29. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me, so rendering service means not my way, because then that is not service, that is sometimes imposition. Karo aisa, bola na. Bolta hai, nahi karne ka hai. So, जिसकी जैसी इच्छा है. सो सर्विस मीन्स टू डू थिंग्स वॉट द अदर पर्सन वॉन्ट्स, राइट, नॉट वॉट द वे यू वॉन्ट. सो रेंडर सर्विस अन टू मी इन डिवोशन, इज अ फ्रेंड, इज इन मी एंड आई एम ऑल्सो अ फ्रेंड टू देम. सो कृष्णा इज इक्वल टू एवरी वन, बट फॉर दोज हु फेवरेबली रेंडर सर्विस टू हिम, ही इज सेइंग दैट आई एम इन देम एंड दे आर इन मी. नाउ यू नो मेनी पीपल, यू नो एस्पेशली दोज ऑन दिस पाथ, यू नो दे वॉन्ट टू प्रैक्टिस द योगा प्रोसेस इन सच अ वे दैट दे कैन फील द प्रेजेंस ऑफ द डिवाइन विद इन देम, राइट, द परमात्मा, एंड देन यू नो कनेक्ट विद द परमात्मा विद इन द हार्ट. दिस इज एन इंटरेस्टिंग वर्स वेर कृष्णा इज सेइंग दैट दैट पर्सन इज इन माई हार्ट. सो वी वॉन्ट टू एक्सपीरियंस कृष्णा इन अवर हार्ट, बट कृष्णा इज एक्चुअली वॉन्टिंग टू एक्सपीरियंस सच अ डिवोटी इन हिज हार्ट. सो यू नो हाउ इज दैट when we favorably ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, in devotion we surrender and we connect with the Lord, which is being mentioned here, that very soon attains devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. And we know that, you know, there is a lok katha that you know how Lord Ram once, you know, he was writing something in a diary and Hanuman ji sees and he says, oh, what is this diary? So he says, oh, these are the names of all my devotees who are constantly remembering me day and night in so much love and devotion. So I keep a special note of all of them. So he says, Hanuman ji is now wondering, is my name there in the diary? And then he asks, is my name in that diary? So he says, no. So Hanuman ji is like, oh, my name is not there in the diary. So then Lord Ram understands what is the anxiety of Hanuman ji. So then he pulls out another diary, a smaller one. So usually pocket diary, so close to the heart. So sure, Lord Ram was not wearing any kurta, so to have a pocket near the heart, but something close to the heart, a smaller diary. And Hanuman ji asks, what is this diary? He says, this is the diary of those whom I remember constantly. And then he shows, the first name is Hanuman. So the point is that how are we inclined or aligned to satisfy ourselves, our need, or to satisfy Krishna, or to satisfy Lord Ram, right? So, you know, Krishna says that I am giving equal opportunity to everyone, but then it is up to us how we take that opportunity. And, you know, those who don't go beyond the impersonal conception, and sometimes they, you know, we sometimes refer to them as Mayavadis, but you know, not many are also so perfect Mayavadis these days, you know. So but yes, those who are, you know, through this conception are holding this understanding that ultimately God is, you know, impersonal, he does not have a form, you know, that conception also comes. Why? It's a, actually, if we really understand, you know, that is a trauma response for those who have had too much of botheration from persons of this world. They want to connect with God as an impersonal. Because if God is also a person like that, you know, that will also be botheration. Right? And our rejection, Vaishnava's rejection of impersonalism, is also a trauma response. Because, you know, when they say that God does not have a form, So they sometimes actively want to reject the personality of God, which we see that, you know, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in his pastimes, he expresses that anger and, you know, some kind of, we may not say trauma, but, you know, dissatisfaction or pain. That Lord Chaitanya once, you know, he runs in the house of Murari Gupta. He is thinking about Varahadev. And he runs in the house of Murari Gupta and starts chanting loudly, Shukar, Shukar. And then he manifests his form as Varahadev, enters into the place of worship of Murari Gupta and picks up a water pot. And he actually manifests as Varahadev, picks up the water pot like Varahadev is carrying the earth on the tusk. And then he tells Murari Gupta, chant my glories. And Murari Gupta says, how can I chant? I am ignorant fool. I can't chant your glories. And then he still speaks something. And then Lord Chaitanya says that, you know, when Murari Gupta glorifies that, you know, the whole, all the Vedas are glorifying in such select verses your Uttam Shloka. So he says, yes, but there is one rascal in Varanasi who is constantly trying to cut my limbs and reject my personal feature. And he speaks of Prakashananda Saraswati. And he says that, you know, this fellow does not understand that he is suffering from leprosy because of this conception that he is rejecting my form, which is transcendental. So, you know, this is also kind of, you know, out of pain because Krishna, he is a person and no person wants to be hurt, right? But if a person, if sees that, you know, someone is not really understanding them and is misaligned and rather creates their own conceptions of that person, that is very hurting. Or limiting them to only this or only that, that, oh, God is only impersonal. No. You know, if we write the word impersonal, that also says, I am personal. The spelling, right? So actually, God is a person. And there is a proper process how to connect with the Lord. So, you know, that process is bhakti, devotional service. And Shukdev Goswami, while speaking in this way, and as Prabhupada is mentioning here, pantheism. So there are different kinds of these approaches to understand the divine. So after speaking this process of yoga, and then he will start giving more details of different other processes, finally bhakti, which is, you know, of all these darshans, the different ways of approaching the divine, then Vyasadev, he summarizes everything in Vedanta, which is the end of all the process of knowledge. And this Vedanta is presented by Vyasadev in the form of Vedanta Sutra. And Shukdev Goswami is then starting to speak now the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So, and if we very carefully, with proper, you know, alignment with the desires of the Lord, you know, we approach the Lord, then Krishna is very merciful, you know. So, you know, we understand that, yes, even rejecting the impersonal feature of the Lord is not appropriate, because You know, if we don't see the Lord everywhere, then how much love do we have for God? You know, we see so many young boys and girls, and this is the time when, you know, they start feeling some kind of infatuation towards the other gender, right? So, the Bollywood is full of so many different kinds of songs where the person is seeing the person, you know, in the sky, in the water, on the land, in the fragrance, right? And as if writing their names everywhere, right? Writing their names even on the hand, cutting. So, that is seeing, there is so much of love that you see the beloved everywhere. That is very artificially done nowadays, because you think of that person, but that person is thinking of someone else. And that person is thinking of someone else. You know, Bhartrihari in his Vairagya Shatak, he speaks about that. And that's a fact. And that is why so many young people, young boys and girls, they become so much anxious and sometimes even have suicidal tendencies out of foolishness. Foolishly, they are superimposing this real love towards Krishna on some useless persons who does not even care for them. But the real love is, you know, that Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjun shows that real love in the 10th chapter. Krishna, you know, Arjun tells Krishna that please tell me how I can see you everywhere. So, Krishna is not saying in a very poetic way, oh, you can see me here, you can see me there. Krishna says that actually everything in this world is just the splendor that you see in this world is just a small fragment of my unlimited energies. And he says, how much can I describe? I have described, he speaks some 40 odd examples that you can see me in this, you can see me in that. And, in water you can see Ganga as me, right? So, speaking all of that, and then Krishna says, how much can I describe, you know? It's up to you that how much love you have. You can see me everywhere. So, it's up to us then, you know. If we don't see the Lord in all these things, then we will not be able to actually appreciate Krishna. You know, Krishna says in the 6th chapter, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Right? So Krishna expects that we actually see Krishna in his manifestation in this material world, in everything that we have, so that we have sufficient respect for Krishna's energies and also for Krishna, and that way we develop love towards the Lord. And when we have that love, then Krishna says that, you know, such a person, I bring him back to me, and that is my promise. Manmana bhavma bhakto matyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosti me. For one who is constantly thinking of me and offering obeisances and becoming my devotee, so such a person, I promise, I bring them to me without fail. This is my vow. Right? So, you know, we can understand through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam how to develop that love which is everlasting love. Then it is not the love of this world that, you know, it keeps evaporating every few days or months or years, depends on you know how unfortunate you are. So, you know, let us, you know, connect with Krishna through the process, simple process of bhakti, which is being described in Srimad Bhagavatam here. And the easiest process of connecting with Krishna through bhakti is the process of chanting. As we know that, you know, even in the material world, we mentioned that you know, people really develop love towards other by constantly taking his name or her name, right? So, if we really want to actually develop our love towards Krishna, then we should constantly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? One question, if there is. Prabhu. Vrishbhanu Prabhu is my very super senior. I learned Srimad Bhagavatam from him in 1994.
It's not a question, it's sort of a comment. Despite, you know, Krishna compassionately telling us in Bhagavad Gita that there is a lot of klesho adhikatara tesham avyakta asakta chetasam, despite Krishna, you know, telling so much, how come even to this day there is so much, you know, of Mayavad floating around in our country?
You know, why we are attached to the impersonal feature only? Because then there is one way that we can control. It's like, you know, sitting personally in a Bhagavatam class, so the person who is giving the Bhagavatam class, he is in control, in charge. And then hearing the same Bhagavatam class in an impersonal way, on radio or on internet, is you are in control. I can always shut you down. So, we still want our independence. We still want control. We don't want to fully surrender. Because as soon as we come in front of the personality, then, because that personality is supreme personality, that personality overpowers us. Not by actually showing power, but by the love and compassion that is there. And a person cannot do anything but just surrender. But if the person has any kind of ego within the heart, then they can't surrender. And there is this, they are seeing the most beautiful person, the most powerful person, but there is battle going on within the heart, that some part of the heart is rejecting. As Duryodhan was seeing Krishna face to face, when Krishna came to give the peace talk. So he is attracted, at the same time he is fighting Krishna within the heart. And then he is so envious that actually he speaks that, you know, arrest him. He is using his mystic powers. So it was not mystic power. Krishna is actually showing his real spiritual nature. So that is the reason that, you know, we are still not fully purified in the heart. And therefore, you know, these different processes are there to purify the heart of all the anarthas, the selfishness that I still want to enjoy. So, we want to enjoy even while serving. So, that is the difficulty. So, you know, that is why, you know, this is my understanding. I'm sorry, you know, if that doesn't answer you. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So, Mayavada Bhashya is basically what Shankaracharya has spoken in his Shariraka Bhashya, where he has very expertly presented in a way that anyone would get convinced that God is not a person. And that was his job. That was his assignment, and he did it very well. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya says that, you know, don't associate with Mayavadis. To associate means to hear from this Mayavad Bhashya. That doesn't mean that Lord Chaitanya was rejecting these Mayavadis whenever he would see them and would see them and turn their face or spit at them. No. When he went to that assembly of Prakashanand Saraswati, he was very humbly sitting there, and by his own humility and proper behavior, he attracted them and was not speaking out of envy or hatred. He was speaking out of great compassion. So, Mayavadi or no Mayavadi, everyone is finally Krishna's servant. Krishna proclaims that, like, you know, jaisa chhati maar ke bol sakte hain, that mame vamsho jeev loke jeev bhut sanatana, all the living entities are mine. So Krishna loves everyone. But then he says that, see, you know, this person is not properly inclined, so keep away from them. So sometimes we want to keep away of some people because, you know, they can actually pollute our consciousness. So we respect, you know, Prabhupada would say that, you know, if you see a sannyasi, a Mayavadi sannyasi, respect them. Respect the order that they are representing, the tapasya that they are doing, right? Respect the ashram that they are in. But that does not mean that you then also start giving oral reception to them. No. Respect from distance. So that discrimination is necessary. And that requires intelligence, that requires proper knowledge and proper surrender to the Guru and hearing, getting trained properly. Hare Krishna. So we should not hate. We should avoid. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.